Have you ever thought about what you're going to do the first time you see him? I've thought about that before. What are you going to do? Are you going to hug his neck? You're going to fall at his feet? You're going to just cry and weep? I tell you what, it's not till the new heaven and new earth that all tears are wiped away. I tell you what, if we go by the grave or in the rapture, I think there's going to be a few tears when we see him for the first time. Amen. I tell you what, I've thought about what it's going to be like whenever we see him for the first time. But I know this, I'm going to see him. Amen. Hallelujah. I have that hope. Well, I'm not preaching on heaven tonight, but I sure feel like I want to. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to the book of James, chapter number 2. Book of James, chapter number 2. I've been thinking about what the Lord wanted me to be able to preach tonight. When you find verse 21, let's stand together. We're going to read just a few verses of Scripture. James, chapter number 2, verse number 21. I've been so appreciative of everything that the Lord has done, even just in the last couple of days. The pastor gave a testimony. Can I give one just real short, real quick? I'll tell you what, I told some men last night that the Lord answered one of my prayers last night. Now I can say Brother Brett came last night, and we were standing around afterwards after the sermon and after the messages and everything were over with. I noticed the brother that came with Brother Brett and everything was kind of walking around over here and trying to look for somebody. And I heard him say, he said, "Nobody, no, everybody's talking to somebody." He said, "Brother Hart, could you come help me?" And I said, "Sure." And we went into the back room and opened up the Bible and were able to see Brett come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what, he was under that trembling conviction last night. And I was thankful for it. But I didn't realize it until we got done and we walked out of the room, that just a couple of weeks ago, my pastor, Brother Ed Bragg, was standing up at the end of a service after he got done preaching. And he said, "Something that I've asked for this year is that I and my wife have been praying that God would let us lead more people to the Lord personally this year." And when he said that, I said, "Lord, you know, I get up and I preach. I get up behind the pulpit and preach the Word of God, and souls get saved around the altar because God has used us in the preaching and in the singing. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm glad that I've had a little part in that. But I said, Lord, I'd like to lead some people personally to the Lord." And as I walked out of the room last night, God said, "Hey, just answered your prayer." And I said, "Hallelujah, let's do it again." Amen. Glory to God. So I'm thankful that God hears and answers prayer. Amen. Here in James chapter number 21. Do I got this on? Do I? Okay. I want to make sure that I flipped it. I can't remember if I flipped it on from mute or not. And some of you may want me to mute it. Is it on? Is it show? Okay, all right. James chapter number 2, verse number 21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." I'm interested in the last phrase of that last verse that we read, where it says, "And he was called the friend of God." I want to take a look at Abraham's life tonight, and I want to preach on this subject: how to be the friend of God. How can we be the friend of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight that, Lord, that you would help us. God, I come before you and once again admit before these people that, Lord, I am helpless and God needs your strength and your help. Holy Ghost of God, I need your unction. I need your power from on high. I pray, God, that you would give me the words to say. Pray that you would give me the illustrations, the applications, God, the interpretations. And Lord, as we leave here tonight, Lord, we would have a renewed sense of wanting to be the friend of God. Lord God, we need your help. God, in this day and age, the world is looking for something real, not something fake. Lord, they see the fake all over the place. But God, we need something real. So God, help us to be as close to you as we possibly can. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. In order for me to be able to show you a little bit
about Abraham's life and for us to understand what it takes to be a friend of God, we could go to the Old Testament and look at several different verses of Scripture and be able to follow Abraham's life and come up with some things about how we need to be the friend of God. But instead of wading through many Scriptures tonight, because we could be talking about that for some time, I want to go to a synopsis which is found in Hebrews chapter number 11. Would you turn over there with me? Hebrews chapter number 11. And we're, of course, as Bible students are familiar with the Hall of Fame of faith that we see in Hebrews chapter number 11. In fact, we know that the key verse here in verse number 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." If I remember right, the very first time that I preached here, not in Sunday school, but in the morning service that I preached here back in July, I preached on that subject about having faith in God, about how that we need to live by faith. And may I just remind you from that message that it is impossible to please God without faith. We've got to be able to live by faith in order to do that. So as we take a look at this passage of Scripture, and faith is woven all throughout this passage, I want to take a look at Abraham on how he became the friend of God. Look at verse number 8, if you would please. The Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Would you skip down to verse number 17, if you will? "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." I want to say something about Abraham tonight. Not only was he a friend of God, but he also was a faithful man. Amen. The Bible says there in verse number 8, as we just read, it says that whenever God called him out to go to a place, says in the middle, which he should after receive for inheritance, one word after that, it just says, obeyed. That Abraham obeyed when God called him to go. I mean, how hard would it be? How hard is it, and many have done it, for God to call a man and a family to leave their country, to leave their hometown that they know and love, and God said, "I want you to go somewhere else. I got something better for you. I got something for you that I want you to do, a calling, and to take up and to pack up and to go." Unfortunately, I've heard of situations in my lifetime, being around the ministry, where some people didn't obey that call, and they didn't go the direction that God wanted them to go. And unfortunately, you hear the end of the story, how they lose their family, how they lose their testimony, how they lose the blessings of God, all because they don't go. And then you hear the other side of the coin, where people that did obey, and they went, and yeah, they faced troubles, and they faced trials, and they faced difficulty, just even as your pastor testified tonight, because in the ministry, and when you're dealing with people, you're going to face those things. But hallelujah for the blessings of God. When you know you're right smack dab in the middle of the will of God, and you know you're right where God wants you to be, oh, there's no better place for a child of God than knowing you're right where God wants you to be. I see that Abraham, he is not only a friend of God, but he is a faithful man. In fact, don't turn there, but in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 6, it says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." He just believed that God was going to take care of him. He just believed that God was going to meet his needs. He just believed that God was going to give him what he promised. And I'm telling you what, there have been many times in my life, whether in the pastorate, the assistant pastorate, or now in evangelism, that a hard time may come into my life. And I say, "God, I know I'm right where you want me to be. I know that I'm exactly in the will of God. And so, God, this is your problem to deal with." Amen. This is what you got to take care of. And let me say, that's a blessed place to be. That's a wonderful, confident place to be. When even though the troubles of life come our way, We can say, Lord, would you help me make it through? Because I'm doing what you've called me to do. I think that Paul had a few times like that himself, when he was shipwrecked, when he was in jail, when he was beaten, when he was left for dead. I know it was not an easy thing to go through. I know it was tough to be able to see people even forsake him like Demas did and went a different direction. Oh, but the sweet assurance that he knew when even when he faced his final resting place. History says that whenever Paul was going to be beheaded, that he ran to the chop block. Why? Because he knew his race was won. He knew it was over with. And this is a man that had already seen the third heaven in a vision. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But he knew what was waiting for him on the other side. And let me say, in my life, I may not have seen a vision. I may not have been in the body or out of the body in glory. But hallelujah, I can read in the precious Word of God that I know what's waiting for me on the other side. And even when my time comes to die, or I'm going to be raptured out of here, I know what's waiting for me over there. Amen. But we just need to obey. And we just need to stay faithful in what God wants us to do. Not only was he the friend of God, not only was he a faithful man, but we also see that he was a father type. He was a type of the Heavenly Father. As you read through the Old Testament, you say, how do you know that? Well, it says in verse number 17, where we read, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten Son. Boy, we've heard that phrase somewhere before. And we see that that Abraham, even as we say today, Father Abraham had Father Abraham. If some of you don't wake up, we may sing that song here in a minute. Amen. Glory to God. But I'm telling you what, we see here that Abraham, because he was a friend of God, because he was faithful, he was a type of the Father. Boy, wouldn't it be said of us that we show forth the Father in our life. That because of our faithfulness, not because we're anything, but that God's everything. And because we're the friend of God, that people can see the Father in our life. After all, isn't that what Jesus did when he was upon this earth? Everything he did, he didn't point to himself. He pointed back to the Heavenly Father. And that's what we should do. So when we become the friend of God, that's the result. That's something that happens in our life, is that through faithfulness we can see the Lord Jesus Christ, or I should say God the Father, be shown through us. But some things had to happen. Some things had to happen in Abraham's life for him to become the friend of God. Some things had to transpire and had to get him ready for him to become the friend of God. And I want to bring out a few of these tonight, and hopefully we'll see those in our life, so that way we can also too be counted the friend of God. Number one, God had to discover Abraham. You say, what are you talking about? Well, he had to find Abraham first. And of course, I use the term find. God knows where everything is. But humanly speaking, he had to find Abraham. Notice here that God found Abraham, not that Abraham found God. Amen. I'm glad that God came looking for me one day. Amen. I'm glad on April 2nd, 1989, as a 6-year-old boy at the end of Butler Lane in Russellville, Arkansas, at 8:25 p.m., the Lord Jesus Christ saved my hell-bound soul. I know I was a preacher's kid. I know that I'd been in church ever since I was born, but I was just as a dirty, rotten sinner, as a drug addict on the side of the road, and I had to get saved just like he had to get saved. And I'm thankful that one day Jesus came looking for me. And I'm glad, just like God discovered Abraham, he discovered you one day. Amen. He came a-looking for you. You may have been in a place that it seemed like it was impossible for you to climb out of. The world might have wrote you off and said they'll never amount to anything. But hallelujah, when Jesus shows up, he can take something that seemingly is thrown away and turn it into a child of the King. I'm glad that God God discovered me one day. He found me. He found Abraham. He came to where I was because I couldn't get to Him. The Bible still says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were not in a position whatsoever to come up to Him. But hallelujah, He came to me. I like that old song that says that. He came to me. So we see the finding of Abraham. And then we also see the far country of Abraham. Where did God find Abraham at? He found him in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. That's where He found Abraham. Now, I don't have time to get into it tonight, but may I challenge your thinking? If you were to go and study the Ur of the Chaldees and the different gods that they worship and the pagan worship that they have, you'd find out that one of the main gods that they served was the moon god. The moon god had different phases to it that they served. And if you were to check out though how they served that moon god, and that they had one certain dominant phase that they looked to more than all the other moons phases, you'd find out that that same phase of the moon that they worshipped was the same phase of the moon that Muhammad many years later was going to pattern Allah after. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with the same problem today that Abraham dealt with all the way back in Ur of the Chaldees. This ain't anything new, friend. This thing of Muslim and Islam that wants to take Christianity and stamp it out is the same things that Abraham was called out of years ago. Let me tell you something. God and the devil have been fighting a long time. And I'm going to say I'm glad that God found me and I've changed sides. Amen. You know where God found Abraham? Was in the same place He can find you. Amen. He was in Ur of the Chaldees. Now Ur of the Chaldees was also in a desert place. That's where that was. Ur of the Chaldees was not a very prosperous as far as trees and things like that go. It was a desert place where He found him. He also found him in a godless place. Oh, they served their gods and had many gods. And let me tell you something. I'm glad for the day that God found me in the far country. Amen. He found me in that desert place. Found me in that godless place. The book of Psalms chapter number 40 and verse number 2 and 3 says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. I wonder who the rock is. Amen. And established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm glad that God found me and He put me on that rock, just like He did Abraham. Amen. Notice that he had to be discovered. He found him in a place that was godless. He found him in a desert place. He found him in a place that it seems like he had no idea to be able to worship God. But I'm glad that he discovered him. Hey friend, if you're going to be a friend of God, you got to be discovered by God. If you're going to be a friend of God, you got to give yourself over to when He comes and knocks on your heart door. When He comes and He wants to save your soul. When He comes and He wants to do those wonderful things in your life, I'm telling you, you need to allow God to discover you. Not only do we see the finding, not only do we see the far country, but we also see the vision for the future. Oh, the Bible says here that He looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hey, this is a city that's not made by hands. Amen. This is a city whose builder is God. I'm glad that we see the example that Abraham didn't put his stakes down too deep down here. Amen. He was looking for a city on the other side. Hey, whenever you get somebody that's discovered by God, when you get somebody that gives their life to God, they'll start realizing that the pleasures of this world will grow strangely dim, just like the songwriter said. I don't have anything waiting down here. Oh, but like the songwriter said, look what's waiting for me on the other side. I'm glad for the day when I realize that there's a city waiting for me on the other side. So we see here that in order to be the friend of God, first of all, you got to be discovered by Him. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? But then after a picture here of Abraham getting saved and being discovered, number two, he had to be detached. So notice how God detached him.
And when you get closer to God, God will start detaching you from the things of this world. And we see that in Abraham's life. We see in verse number 8 how we already talked about that Abraham got orders to leave his home. He had to leave where he grew up in order to go where God wanted him to go. We see not only the orders to leave, but we see the objects that left with him. We see, first of all, that God allowed him to have a tent. That tent, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, that tent shows the relationship that Abraham had to this world. He didn't build a permanent structure. He had a tent. He had a tent because he realized he wasn't supposed to stay attached to this world. So God, when He detached him and started detaching him from this world, He showed him a tent that he was supposed to live in. Oh, look at verse number 13 of this passage of Scripture. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were," watch this, "were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were," watch this, "strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Abraham knew he didn't belong here. Abraham knew that he was just here for a short time. I'm afraid that we got too many people nowadays, so-called Christians included, that they don't long for heaven because they're too invested down here on this earth. You get somebody get up here and sing, like we just sang, "We Shall See Jesus." We get up and sing the song about, "Well, look what's waiting for me." We get up and sing the song about going home with Jesus and all those type of things, and it doesn't stir your heart like you should. Why? Because you're too invested down here. You start thinking about, "Boy, if I go to heaven, then I wouldn't be able to take care of this or to do that. And I wouldn't have my possessions and I wouldn't have this." Hey, let me tell you something, friend. I thank God for the blessings that God has given me down here, but I'm ready to leave them all behind. Amen. I know what's waiting for me over there. Why? Because I have a relationship with the One that prepared a place for me. And we see here that God started detaching Abraham from this world. Why? Because He had him live in a tent. Showed the relationship that he had to this world. Not only that, but we also see that he had Abraham on multiple occasions build some altars. That showed his relationship that he had to heaven. The tent showed the relationship that he had to this world, but the altar showed the relationship that he had to heaven. Oh, the great worship that he did around those altars. The sacrifice that he did around those altars, because God was detaching Abraham from this world. Why? So he could be called the friend of God. So I ask you tonight, as we continue on with the lesson, I continue on with the message, how attached are you? How attached are you? Some of you may have your stakes driven way too deep in this world. Some of you may have your house put way too much in the sand and in the rocks of this world. Why? Because you're more concerned about down here than laying up treasures over there. Oh, for us to be a friend of God, not only do we got to be discovered by God, but we also got to be detached from this present evil world. Then number 3, not only did He discover him and detach him, but we also see God started to develop him. He started making something out of Abraham. You say, how did he make something out of Abraham? Well, in order for him to have something be made out of where God was going to use him, he had to find some things out about this world. Number one, he had to find out what the land was like. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, God sent a famine into Abraham's life. And he had to find out what the land was like. He had to find out that when famine comes through, that whenever the provisions are gone, you don't keep your eyes on the blessings, but you keep your eyes on the blesser. And so he allowed a famine to come through so that way Abraham would not get his eyes on the surroundings, but he would keep his eyes on the Savior. And oh, when God started to develop Abraham, he had to find out, number one, what the land was like.
Then number two, not only did he have to find out what the land was like, but he had to find out what the lost was like. The first place that Abraham went to after he left Ur of the Chaldees and started on that journey, and after his dad died and got all alone and everything like that, after they were in Haran, after all of that took place, we see that he comes to Bethel. We already talked about that Sunday morning. But Abraham comes to Bethel. He comes there to the house of God. But the second place that Abraham goes to is Egypt. You know why? Because when that famine came, he took a detour and went down to Egypt. God not only had to show him what the land was like, that you couldn't trust in it, but he also had to show him what the lost was like. Hey, whenever that famine came by, it made a coward out of Abraham. Instead of staying where God wanted him to stay, he went down to the world. Be careful, friend. Be careful, friend, especially for your family's sake. That whenever things get tough and things get just a little bit out of your control, by the way, they need to get more out of our control and more into God's control. Amen. But when they get a little bit out of our control, that we don't take a detour and end up going to the world. There was a guy in the book of Ruth that did that. Remember how that Elimelech went down to Moab? And remember how he ended up dying there and his sons ended up dying there and all the heartache that they had, all because a famine had come to Bethlehem, Judah. Oh, I'm glad for the wonderful picture that Ruth is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And that just goes to show you God can take something bad and turn it into something good. And I'm thankful for that. But oh, I think of the cost that it was to that family, all because they took a detour and went the wrong direction when time started getting tough. Hey, when God was going to start to develop Abraham, he had to show him, you can't rely on the land. And then he had to kind of show the character a little bit of Abraham. And he had to see when he went down to Egypt how that the world made a coward out of him. And not only that, it made a liar out of him too. He lied about his wife. He lied about how that, oh, she's my sister. She's not my wife. She's my sister. And you know how that in that situation, he lost his testimony with the world. Hey, go ahead. You go ahead and have your fun, sir. You have your fun, ma'am. You go to the world thinking that they got it better than what us Christians have. But let me tell you something. You'll lose your testimony. You'll lose your potential. And when God is trying to develop you into a friend of God, be careful that you don't wallow around in Egypt too long, because you could be rendered useless for the cause of Christ. But God had to show Abraham what the lost were like. He said, you don't need to be down there with them. You don't need to dwell there. You don't need to rely on the land. But then also, number three, when he was developing him, he had to also show him what Lot was like too as well. How many times do we rely on our family instead of relying upon God? He relied on his nephew. He relied on him and gave him the option. Are you going to stay in this land or are you going to go over yonder? And you know the story how that Lot went over to Sodom and Gomorrah because it looked a lot better than what he had around there. And God already had a plan for Abraham. And you know how that Lot lost his family. You know how that he lost his wife and he lost his son-in-laws and his two daughters that he did get to keep did horrible, horrible acts with their own father. And oh, the repercussions of that act even today in our society because of what took place that night. Oh, let me tell you something. God was developing Abraham. He said, you don't rely on the land, the provisions. You don't rely on the lost, the world. And he said, you don't rely on family either. God was trying to get him in a place where he realized the only place he could look was up to God. And he said, you don't rely on Lot. You don't rely on that family. He said, you don't allow the family to bring you down to Sodom. Hey, may I give you an encouragement to you? You fathers and you mothers, hey, be careful about letting your kids hang around even the cousins every now and then. I've seen too many times that cousins bring down good Christian family. Listen, you're like, oh, well, they're family. So I'm not talking about alienating them so much where they can't talk to them or anything like that. But I'm telling you what, sometimes we let a lot more things go with family when we get around the holiday time. And there's no way we would let our kids be around different characters that are in the school or in the churches that participate in things just like our own family members do. Hey, be careful, mom and dad. Be careful. God has entrusted you with those kids and those life. And don't let family mess them up. Amen. Amen. I've seen it happen too many times. We'll let them hang around them. And I know they don't do everything right, but you know, after all, preacher, it's family. Oh, be careful about that. Careful about that. We had to see, in order for Abraham to become the friend of God, and God was developing him, he had to see what Lot was like, his family. Oh, but then not only that, he had to also see what the Lord was like too. God got Abraham away from family. God got Abraham away from the land. God got Abraham away from the world. So the only thing he could do is just worship God. And I'm telling you what, when God's going to put you as His friend, when God is going to get you to be developed where He wants you to be, He may put you in a place where you're backed into a corner, where there's no other place that you can look other than up, and God's got you right into a place where you can rely 100% on the Savior. I don't have anybody other story to tell other than my own, so I'll just interject this right here. Right after God allowed us to be able to help start a church in Iowa, after I was assistant pastor for 9 years, being with my father-in-law in Iowa and then being with my dad down in Florida, God called us back to Iowa for a year to be able to help start a church out of my father-in-law's church, about 45 minutes away from his home church. And when during that year's time, I thought God was going to allow us to be able to pastor it. I thought that we were going to get that church started, and I thought that was going to be the pastorate. God had already dealt with my heart about being a pastor, and so I thought that was how it was going to be. And we got there, and we tried to look for a place to meet, and we had some people that were interested in coming to the church. And so what we end up finding was we found that we could rent out the high school cafeteria on Sunday afternoon. They weren't using it anyways, and so they gave us a really reasonable rate. And so at 2 o'clock, I believe it was at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, we would be able to go up and we would hold a service at the high school cafeteria in Oskaloosa, Iowa, where we were trying to get a church started. And so here's how our Sunday went. We lived in the town where my father-in-law was, our home church. We'd get up on Sunday morning, go to Sunday school right there in town in my father-in-law's church, our home church. We'd go to morning service. And then we'd pile in the car and we'd grab something to eat at the gas station real quick. And we'd go 45 minutes to the next town over and we'd have a van load of sound equipment, and we had a van load of offering plates. And man, if you're going to start a church, you got to have offering plates. Amen. And you had a podium and a pulpit, and we'd hurry up and get there and rearrange the chairs and put up the sound system and get the piano together and everything just in time so people could come and have a 2 o'clock service. And then we'd preach to them. My wife would play the piano. I'd lead the singing. We'd do a special, then I'd get up and preach to them, just like I'm preaching to you right now, spit and snort and everything else, and I'd do that. Then we'd get done, and we'd have to tear it all down, put it back in the van, and we'd go back to our home church and be there for Sunday night services. Whoo! We were wore out come Sunday night. We did that for about a year to 9 months. And then after that time, God led me away from starting that church. Led me back to Peoria, Illinois. And Brother Hicks, I'll tell you, it was the hardest decision of my life. Because I was going back there and I didn't have a home to go to when I went to Peoria, Illinois. I didn't have another job waiting on me when I went to Peoria, Illinois. But yet, just as sure as I'm standing right here, I knew that God was telling us we needed to make that move. And so we did. For 8 months, we lived in my uncle's basement with nowhere else to go. Now listen, I know, say living in a basement, I mean, it was a finished basement and it was a nice basement, but it still wasn't ours. Still somebody else's house. Leah was born during that time with us being homeless. We joined a church around there, a friend of ours who helped us move.
And we tried to do everything we could in the church. I helped teach a little bit of the teen Sunday school class. Whenever churches around there needed a fill-in because the pastor was going to be in out of town, God would let me to come fill in. We sang a little bit. We preached a little bit. Did just a little bit of evangelistical work. All at that time I knew that God was calling me to pastor, but I had no idea where I was going to be. 8 months we were in that basement. Then 4 months after that, we had to move out of that basement. And we got out of the basement. We thought, woohoo! And we went to another basement is what we did. The church that we were members of, the parsonage there had a finished basement in it too as well. And we had to get out of our uncle's basement because they were looking to sell the house and things like that. And so we had to get out of there, and we went and was 4 months in the next basement. And during that time, Brother Fritz, I'll be admitted to you, I got down. And I said, God, what are you doing? God, here I was trying to get a church started. And by the way, that church is still going to this day. They got a building of their own. There's a man in the church that was in that church that was a deacon, that was a young man that was called to preach. He ended up pastoring that church, and it's still going to this day. Hallelujah. God used this in just a little bit of way to get that church started. But it wasn't in the way that I thought. Wasn't what I thought was going to happen. I had it all planned out, and this is how it's going to work. And God said, oh no, I got another plan. And so for those 12 months, before I became the pastor at Mid-America Baptist Church in Winfield, Missouri, we lived in two different basements, had our youngest child, and I mean, there was many times that I just walked around there and said, God, what are you doing? I knew I was where I was supposed to be, but I didn't understand why I was there. My dad would come visit me. At that time, he was about ready to go into full-time evangelism. He had resigned the church down in Century, Florida, and I even helped him move during that time. Man, I flew out of Peoria, Illinois, all the way down to Pensacola, Florida. They picked me up, and in the hot July, hot July Florida weather, we moved up all of my dad and mom's junk and moved it up to Illinois. That was the longest day of my life. Oh, my goodness. We loaded up the truck. And we drove all the way, I mean hours, to get back up to Illinois. I helped him move up there into Decatur, Illinois, because he was going into full-time evangelism. I helped him do that. And all that time, at that time we started, we're talking to Mid-America Baptist Church, but nothing was settled yet. And I'm telling you what, so during that time, my dad would come up and he would see me. And I'd say, I can remember times when I'd say, Dad, I don't know what's going on. Dad, I'm just doing what God wants me to do. God's meeting my needs. God's taking care of the bills. But it doesn't feel like I'm doing what God wants me to do. And he told me this. He said, son, he said, there would be some pastoral brethren that would crucify me for saying this. But he said, it's true. Just like Pastor Fritz said, when you're in Bible college, you have these ideas. And then when you get out into the real world, it kind of changes around. He said this. He said, I believe God is just as interested in building a man as He is a ministry. And he said, son, right now God's just building a man. He said, so you just stay faithful. You know what God was doing? He's developing me. And during that time, I said, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm just going to stay faithful. And oh, there'd be times that I'd cry out, say, God, would you fix the circumstance? And I even had other preachers that came in that I knew, that came into the church that we were a member of. And they even told our pastor that I was under there, Brother Zach Rogers. And they would say something to him, and they said, boy, God's got Jeremiah hemmed up in a corner. And I say, yeah, He sure does. There wasn't anything that I could do to fix it. There wasn't anything I can do to change it. You know why? God was just letting me know what the Lord was like. He had me hemmed up in a corner where the only place I could look was up. Hey, if you're going to be a friend of God, you're going to have to let God develop you. And it may be in a lonely place. It may be in a hard place. It may be in a place that you don't understand that God is going to develop you. Oh, but let me tell you the last point. Not only does God discover you to become His friend, not only does God detach you from some things to become His friend, not only does God develop you to become His friend, but hallelujah, one of these days, God's going to display you. Amen.
One of these days He's going to bring you up to the top. And boy, did He ever do that to Abraham. You say, when did He do that? Remember when He took His son up to the top of Mount Moriah. Remember how that He didn't know how it was all going to work out. Remember how that He took Isaac up there. And He said unto His son, oh, we will come again. Why? Because in these verses we see that he had enough faith that he realized that God was able, in verse number 19, to even raise him up from the dead. Abraham had got so attached to God. Abraham had been developed by God. Abraham had been detached from the things of this world, that now God was going to do a great work in his life. And as Abraham and Isaac went up to the top of Mount Moriah, and we see Abraham start making that altar, and then all of a sudden he binds his son and puts him on that altar, and he raises that knife up in the air to be able to kill his only begotten son. And then you hear the voice from heaven saying, Abraham, Abraham, I know now that you love me because you haven't withheld my son, your son, unto me. And he looked over in the thicket, and there was a ram waiting to take the spot. And we are still talking about this story to this day as a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ, who took my place on the top of Mount Moriah, which you know is Calvary. Hallelujah. I'm glad that when God develops you, one day He's going to put you on display for the whole world to see. But there couldn't have been a Mount Moriah if God first hadn't developed Abraham. You know, we all talk about we want to be the friend of God. We all talk about we want to have that intimate relationship. Brother Fritz, I'm telling you what, more than ever, as my young 36-year-old life, I have been just so burdened the last several years to have that intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father. I mean, there's times that just like the psalmist said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. And I beg God over and over again, God, let me have that intimate relationship with You like some of those men of old have had. And I know the only way it's going to happen is if God detaches me from this world and He develops me. So that way, God can put us on display for all the world to be able to see. There was a figure of things to come in Abraham's life. They went to Mount Moriah, Calvary. They went 3 days' journey. And Jesus was in the belly of the earth for 3 days. The Father was going to sacrifice the Son, and the ram was the substitute. And oh, I'm so glad that whenever God gets done developing us, that the only thing that the world will see when He's all said and done is not us, but they'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when God puts us on display, it's not for them to see us, but it's that way the world sees Him. But there's got to be some detaching. There's got to be some developing. And oh, you can't even get to that point if you haven't let God discover you tonight. How about this week we decide to, like Abraham, get around an altar and say, God, I want to have the relationship with heaven like I'm supposed to have. And Lord, let me in my mind have my possessions like a tent, and not have those stakes down too deep, because I want to have the right relationship with the world and realize this world isn't my home. So God, will You just knock all the rough edges off and start developing me so You can display me and let the Lord Jesus Christ shine through. Let's stand, please.